Dave, anything that stood out when Dan Mullen spoke?
Bill, he was definitely asked about, of course, the recent attrition to Florida's roster and the latest signing class, and poked a little bit about guys not qualifying, and basically he's taking the chance on these kids, wants them to be Gators, and knows there's probably some issues with some guys, but maybe they commit to Florida, maybe they'll end up on campus, and if they have to go the JUCO route or whatever, they're still Gators 2 years down the road. So he was pretty open in discussing that and the process it takes for guys to become to Gators, and he had a lot more success at Mississippi State, where the academic standards aren't as high as they are at Florida. And getting JUCO guys in at Florida has always been a tricky situation with the academic standards there. So, maybe it's something that pays off down the road there. But also, Bill, I think it was just kind of maybe a signal, bringing Felipe Franks with him. Florida hasn't sent a quarterback to SEC Media Day since Jeff Driscoll, and Felipe Franks was calm and confident and probably more relatable around the media more so than he's ever been. So I don't want to read too much into it, but I do think it was a good sign that he named Felipe Franks as one of the three representatives from Florida to come to Hoover, and Felipe Franks handled himself pretty well.
He did. I thought that Mullen, he spent a bit of time talking about Franks and his maturity and everything. And he really sounded confident in him based on the way the season developed.
Bill, you and I talked about this a good bit. It kind of was a revelation to me the last couple of days. He finally took on the persona of Dan Mullen and not so much the persona of Jim McElwain. I think Jim McElwain and the way he acted and us against the world and the outside noise was kind of too much. I think he let that bleed over into Felipe Franks a little bit too. And Mullen told him it was kind of in a way the same us against the world, but it was don't listen to what the media says. It's not to hurt you or whatever. They have a job to do, but if they were coaches, they'd be coaching you instead of me and Brian Johnson. And it was more of a I have the background, it works, listen to us and we'll get through it. And I think eventually that's where Felipe Franks' mind ended up. You had the shushing of the crowd moment versus South Carolina, a kind of a turning point for Felipe Franks. And a lot of it was stress, too, with Dan Mullen going back to that late game stretch with Felipe Franks. And, you don't have to be Tim Tebow. You don't have to be Dak Prescott. Just be a willing runner. You don't have to make the big play. Make the important plays. Get the important yards. Keep the chains moving. And good things will happen. And I think we saw that late in the season last year, and kind of Felipe Franks also being that leader mentality. He mentioned many times yesterday of holding players accountable. I think also, Bill, the experience in this second year of offense, he mentions he knows where the offensive linemen are supposed to be. He knows where the running back's supposed to be. He knows their jobs as well. So, look for Florida, hopefully to take that next step this year, because Felipe Franks is more familiar with the offense, becoming more of a leader.
Talking with Gator Dave, he's down there in Alabama, site of the SEC Media Days. Didn't Mullen say something, and I watched a lot of coaches, SEC Big 12 yesterday. Didn't he say something about last year at this time the receiving core was a question and now it's a strength?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much, Bill. We go and look at it. We always had questions about Freddie Swain and Josh Hammond, and they were four-star receivers and not necessarily living up to that hype. You had transfers to Vaughn Grimes and Ben Jefferson coming in. How would they fit into this offense? Tyree Cleveland was kind of your most respected receiver, but still had a lot to be desired as far as production goes. He was good for big plays, but not necessarily a consistent receiver. And what was going to happen with Kadarius Toney? And there were a lot of questions last year. And I think now we know Ben Jefferson's kind of the leader of this group, but not by much. I mean, not to say kind of off the field, I just mean on the field as far as stats go. It's going to be pretty. I think pretty even spread across the board. I think Trevon Grimes makes more of an impact than he did last year. It was basically his first full year of play, and he's got the big body. I look for him to make some of the big plays along with Tyree Cleveland there. Ben Jefferson to kind of be your steady route runner, go pick up a first down type of receiver along with Freddie Swain and Josh Sham. That's kind of what those guys are known for. But those guys were also able to break some big plays that we didn't necessarily see before either. And then the ultimate X factor in Kadarius Toney and how he used. And I asked Felipe Franks about Kadarius Toney because, Bill, yeah, I don't want to read too much into I'm not big what jersey number guys wear, but at Florida, the number one jersey means something. And Dan Mullen even said that going back to last year in the spring, you have to be a baller to get that number one. And I think that definitely means Kadarius Toney gets that. And I think that means Dan Mullen trusts his ability on the field, his leadership off the field, his maturity off the field, and also becoming just a true wide receiver, not just a guy you get the ball to and whatever happens, happens. Now he can go beat press coverage. He can go down the middle. He can catch a slant pass. So I think Florida knows what they have in these group of receivers. And it's really just going to help elevate Felipe Franks' play as well.
Did Chris Steele's name come up at all?
It did not. No, it did not. Not from when I was around. They shuffle around the players and the coaches a lot. But when I was around, it was not brought up. Like I said, some of the recent attrition was brought up as a whole, but not the Chris Steele situation in particular.
Give me a visual of Radio Row. If you were to estimate how many stations are there, what would it be?
Ooh, 60, probably. 60, 70?
Wow.
60, 70. You go down the hallway and it's lined up there. I got to see Johnny Ballpark Franks yesterday. I introduced myself to him, Bill, so it was good. I saw him at the NSR table there, so I introduced myself. Yeah, I'd say probably around 60. Maybe my eyesight's kind of messed up, and I'm not so good at kind of looking out there. But that's kind of what I'd say there. I was up and down a couple times yesterday, up and down some radio stations there as well. But it was a lot different than it was in Atlanta. You had a kind of a square room in Atlanta instead of a hallway, what they have here in Hoover. So this one was kind of a little easier to navigate and kind of see where everyone is. But Bill, I know it's kind of excited there. Atlanta next year, and Nashville in 2 years for the FCC Media Days.
Yeah, back to Atlanta. I had heard there was a rumor of Dallas, but obviously that didn't happen. And that's a good idea. Dallas is a good place, but not really for the SEC.
Yeah.
But Atlanta, and then back to the 615, but not at the Omni, is what I'm hearing, which I always assumed. Their hotel's always been the Omni, but apparently some other hotel got in there. I'm not. I can't pub it either. Because it's not the right hotel.
I don't remember the name of it either, but I guess something new there. But I'll be looking forward to that in 2 years. But I mean, it's a good event overall. It is much different here in Hoover, a little more confined, a little easier to get around. I think Atlanta probably learned some lessons last year because I know there was some feedback that us media types got to give Atlanta and what we liked and what we didn't like. So it'll be interesting to see how much it changes again from last year to next year and also compared to Hoover and if it ever goes back there.
Gator Dave with us. Gators break down his podcast. How long you staying down there?
We're going to get some Georgia stuff this morning for the TV station, and then we're heading back to Jacksonville. So we'll be heading out probably around noon Central Time and heading back to Jacksonville.
That's a very good point you made. Being in Jacksonville, right on the Georgia state line, how much Georgia are you guys? The sportscasters, et cetera. How much do they cover?
Yeah, it is Florida and kind of leading the way
right.
By far. I'd probably play Florida State in that little second slot as far as coverage and importance of coverage and who we try to cater to. And Georgia third, right there, and they're kind of nipping on the heels of coverage right behind Florida State. But yeah, we have to cover. We have the game in Jacksonville, Florida, Georgia. That was talked about plenty yesterday as well. the game staying in Jacksonville or moving to a home and home. But yeah, Bill, we do have to, you know, with that game being there and the tradition, and of course being 45 minutes from the Georgia line, we have to do a little bit of Bulldogs coverage as well. So looking forward to what Kirby Smart and Jake Fromm have to say, and Andrew Thomas, I believe, the offensive lineman that they're bringing. So I'm sure there'll be a lot of Florida Georgia talk, a lot of the trolling from Dan Mullen and Kirby Smart this offseason, and you know, we'll see where it goes.